Well, all the important people are here tonight. Praise God. Wow. Shelley had called me this afternoon and asked if I would cover for her this evening. And both her and Pastor Gary are extremely busy with this whole week. And she is really doing a lot of work preparing for that. I guess everybody here knows what happened last Tuesday. And we're going to have a memorial service Friday, this coming Friday at 4 o'clock right here. And to our regular members, we're asking that we kind of open to the family, the immediate family and that, and serve them. There's going to be a lot of people. Both of them are from very big families, so we want to just open our hearts to them and share love with them and comfort them. So that'll be, that'll be Friday at 4 o'clock. So what a joy it is being one with the Lord, huh? Wow. So let's open with prayer. Father God, we thank you for this evening. Father, we thank you for everything that you have provided and given us. And only by your Son do we receive that. So Father, we again, reach out to you that ears will be open this evening and ready to receive, that we are all in a teachable mode. And Father, thank you again for being here. Both Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are with us right now. Amen. Amen. So we're going to just do a song here. Are we believing in miracles? They're here for today, aren't they? Praise God. That's a powerful song. It's one of my favorites. And dare to believe, miracles happen. We have so much to be thankful for that I think Wednesday I shared a little bit about changing around my own prayer life to rather than asking God for everything. He's provided everything that we need. There's no reason for asking. It says, ask and you shall receive, but there's other things besides asking for personal things from him, because he's already given me everything that I need. It's all there, everything. He didn't leave one thing out, not one. So does that mean that we don't have to pray? No, not at all. There's a lot of things for prayer, for others, for different types of things, but for personal needs, they're all there, every one of them. Try and think of one thing that God hasn't provided for you. But still, I was trapped in that same old prayer mode of begging him at times, oh God, if it's your will, well, if it's good, why wouldn't it be his will? It's certainly everything that he does that's good is his will. So a lot of times, you know, the prayer life is a little bit different. And, I know, you know, we do we believe in Andrew Womack's teaching, and Pastor Gary has shared with us that he's read a little pamphlet book that Andrew had written. It's called A Better Way to Pray. And I think Pastor Gary he's read it 5 times already. And every time he reads it, he gets another nugget out of it. So it's just a little book. I always like to bring that up because it's a powerful, powerful little book. Well, tonight I want to talk a little bit about temptations and blessings. What does that have to do with healing? It has a lot to do with healing. Temptations and blessings. And, you know, many times there's so many scriptures that pertain to blessings, but we're going to look at a few of them this evening. And, of course, temptation does not come from God. In James 1:13, it says, let no man say that if he is tempted by God, because God cannot be tempted, nor does he tempt anyone. So that's a clear written scripture right there, that it's nothing, that there's never a temptation from God. That's for certain. Satan's at work to do that. You know, Satan knows scripture. He knows every bit of it. He knows it from cover to cover. He knows every bit of the Bible. He knows every one of the scriptures, every one of the words. But he has a tendency of twisting it around. He has a tendency of twisting it. So in The book of Matthew, Matthew 4 and 1, it talks a little bit about that, about temptations. When Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he got hungry. Now when a tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Now that was an order from the devil, or trying to get Jesus to commit to that. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city and sat him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the true Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you." And what he was doing was trying to persuade Jesus that he could look at the holy city and promise everything to him. But of course, it wouldn't work out that way, being a devil. Jesus said to him again, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." And again the devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and their glory. And he said to them, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Wow. Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Okay, what part of the Bible does that actually prove and relate to? One of my favorite verses is James 4, 7, where it says, "Submit to the Lord, resist the devil, and he must flee from you." I use that a lot because I think that's one of the most powerful scriptures in the book. And that's exactly what Jesus told him. He commanded him to leave, took authority over it. And of course, the devil couldn't do anything but leave. He had to, because that's the word of God. He had to leave. I'll tell you what, the same thing happens with us, identically the same thing. If we're tempted or told something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, or we aren't sure, command it to leave. Take authority of it immediately. Speak it out. Command it to leave. Stand on James 4, 7. Speak it out. The spoken word is so important. Devil, get out of here. You're trespassing. You're violating. You have no business here. I'm commanding you to leave over the blood of Jesus. Wow, he's gone. Take a deep breath. Refresh, and it's a new season. He has to leave. That's a promise. Why every Christian, why every believer doesn't take authority of that, including myself, every time we're put into that trial or temptation to command them to leave, as the book says clearly two times. It says it in Matthew, says it in James. Why don't we use that more? I'm speaking to myself as well. Instead, we question it once in a while. We say, "Well, that's not you, God, is it?" No, it's not God. If it's bad, it's not him. If it's good, it would be. And if it's a borderline, if you aren't sure as far as direction, you feel that the Holy Spirit is guiding you that way, ask him, "God, is this really you? Am I supposed to take this left turn or the right turn? Am I supposed to go that way or this way? Which?" I'm waiting. The Holy Spirit's a comforter, and he will answer you. He definitely will answer you. So, you know, ask him right out. You need guidance. He's there to do that. He wants that. That's what he's for. You don't turn a GPS on and go through every street in the whole index through the whole America to find out where you're going to go. It sorts it down and it tells you how to get to that street and where to go. That's what the Holy Spirit is. He dials it into a fine path that you can just follow and know that you're in peace, you're in a safe place, and you're going to go the right way. Just that easy. In going further with Matthew, in Matthew 4 and 7, I did read that. Yeah, I had that in two parts here, okay. Again, Satan knows Scripture. He's going to twist it up. And that can happen in our everyday lives, too. Once in a while, we can read something. That's why it's so important reading the Bible and breaking it down, the true meaning of it. Use another translation if you have to. If it isn't real, real clear to you, pull out another translation. There's nothing wrong with that. For just reading it and in a storybook type thing, which it isn't at all, but the Amplified works well. You could read through it, and then I suggest that when you get to some parts that you just clearly don't understand, jump into the King James or the New King James, one of those versions, even the NIV, the non-inspired version. So, again, temptation is not by God. I think we all know that. And backing that is James 1:13, as I had mentioned. The greatest leaders, the greatest teachers, the greatest pastors in the world have all served under crises. More so today than ever, pastors are facing serious, serious things. I just heard on the news today, thank God, that that trial on that baker in California, the Supreme Court favored in favor of the baker and not the gay rights. So, wow, that's a God thing there. He wasn't going to let that go. So that could have really turned around. They're saying they want to pursue it further now, and that 2% of the nation that's causing all of this trouble hasn't quit. They're still going to try. But greater are we with Christ than he is in the world. He can't defend all of that. They can't defend that. You know, homosexuality and lesbianism and all of that, it's difficult at times. You know, we have to love them. We really do. But there's a difference between loving and being concerned for them or believing in their way. We do not have to do that. We do not have to condone. We do not have to believe that lifestyle. Smoking, they say, right on a pack of cigarettes, it takes 7 years off your life. There's many, many things that have to be disclosed now in a medical association. Well, homosexuality takes 20 years off, but they don't publicize that. 20 years off of a person's life with that lifestyle. So there is some sort of a punishment there. And, you know, the book talks about it all the way through so many places that it's Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. And, you know, we have to defend that. And again, by fighting them tooth and nail, evil and evil, we aren't going to get anywhere with that. We have to love on them. Some way we have to tell them that it is a lifestyle. It's a choice. It's a mindset. It's not a disease. God didn't put that disease into those people, that 2% of the world. So I think it's an important thing that we overrule that today in that Supreme Court hearing. You know, churches can't be afraid. They can't hold back from these things. Why would you want to hold back from telling others of God's written word? He breathed every word into the Bible. So why should we be offended? Well, you can't talk about that, homosexuality. Why? It talks about it many, many places in here. Why should we hold back and see other people in a sinful state and going right to hell over it, many of them? Because that 2%, most of them are atheists. They don't believe in our God. Might as well approach them, try and save them, try and do something. They're going to hell otherwise. You know? So we can't hold back with things like that. church and state, the Johnson rule, and things like that, that we're going to see breakthrough. We're under some pretty good hands right now, regardless what anybody says. We're the safest we've been in a long, long time. Financial stability, goals and plans. You know, I served in public office for a couple terms in the second largest city in the state, and two terms as an alderman. And I always said that to take an office position in leadership, whether it be a city, a county, a state, or a country, a prerequisite should be a minimum of 10, preferably 20 years of self-employed, successful business to run for office. You cannot run a country without a successful business background. The president is buying and selling. He's hiring. He's firing. He's making decisions. He's making plans. He's putting out fires. He's doing everything that the president of the company that you work for is doing. The only thing that's different is there's more zeros after it. They're just bigger numbers. So we have a successful man, I believe, in good hands right now that knows how to run a big group of people. That's America. So we have to pray for him for safety. We have to trust in him. He's a godly man. And the church has to start, you know, with elections coming up, there's primaries coming up and that. Get involved. And I'm not talking Democrat, Republican, Independent. Get involved. Know those people, those officials that are going to be elected. Look at their platform. Look at what they're running for. Look at their background. Yeah, David Barton, he's a historian, wonderful guy, very knowledgeable. DavidBarton.net or .com, one of the two. You can really get some good information from him. But we have to know, we have to take over. You know, years ago, you know, this might not be talking about healing right now, but it is. It's healing of our country. It's healing of our people, of our neighbors, of our friends. You know, I always said there's spiritual healing, there's emotional healing, and there's physical healing. So there's a need for all of them. But the church has got to start taking back what was stolen from us. Years ago, David Barton proves that he's got the biggest museum, can I call it that, or collection of past artifacts of world history in government affairs, in running the country. I mean, he's an expert on it. 100 years ago, well back, all these times, every meeting in the White House, every meeting in Congress, every meeting in the legislative branch, every meeting in most local governments was started out in lengthy prayer, sometimes up to 2 hours before they opened and called a meeting to order. They prayed up. Was the country a better place to live then? It has been. It was better than a few years back now, but it's starting to come around like that. We're going to, you know, when 9/11 happened, Christian people rallied together. That was the biggest group of churches where numbers went way up and tithing went up. Everything was, people were concerned. And like I said, Wednesday, you know, we're asking, what are we doing here? What are we doing here coming to church? And why are we getting all of this knowledge? Well, tonight is healing. We're gonna open up for physical healing as well. But why are we trying to gain all of this knowledge? Why are we trying to gather more? Sunday pastor said that most everybody in the place has more knowledge than most pastors do throughout the country, throughout the world especially. But why are we gathering more? Why do we want more and more and more and more? We can't get enough. It's an addiction. And I said, it's Wednesday night. We're being prepared to usher in the end times. And the more it's been going through my head at work, it's been going through me all the time. Get everything you can. Get knowledgeable. Time is running short. We're being prepared to answer questions. We're going to become extremely busy. We're going to be very, very busy. People are going to be flocking to us and say, what do you have that's so different? How have you made it through this and still smile? We don't have to go out and look for them. They're going to be coming to us. And I believe we're being equipped right now, spiritually, to answer, to overcome, to comfort, to exhort, to help those that are hurting. And, you know, it's going to be like putting a notch on your belt or your gun or whatever it was where they used to do that, of how many, not just converts, but how many people have received Christ and they're the disciple. They'll want to know more too. So I think that if you focus on that a little bit and start thinking about that, wow, that probably makes pretty much sense. That's what we're here for. We're gaining knowledge. We're going to be busy. Time is running short. I know Grandpa said that too, but it truly is. In the last 200 years, they said that 85%, it was 82, I think it's 85% now, in the last 200 years, 85% of all prophecies throughout the start of the Bible, start of time, have been fulfilled. Since the time of Jesus, within 2,000 years, within the last 200 years, which isn't very long, 85% of all of those prophecies have come to pass. They've already been fulfilled. And we're seeing more and more of them. The book talks about, look at Jerusalem. Look what's happening there in Israel. People are returning to the homeland. That's what that was prophesied quite a few times. They're returning to the homeland. The temple will be rebuilt, I believe. We're going to see that once they get their heads together as to where it is and who it is. They know. So anyway, there's a lot of things that are being accomplished right now. And they're going to happen real, real quick. They're going to keep on happening. About 20 years ago, when I got saved, I hadn't been in a church most all of my life outside of maybe a wedding here and there or a funeral. And when I got saved, a little retired Baptist pastor found me when I was down and out. I mean, pretty serious down and out. Not going to get into detail on it, but he got me going. He got me going in the right direction. I was on fire. I was on fire. I could run down the street screaming, Jesus, you know, and why don't you know? What, you got to know this guy. You know, he's there. He's real. But he told me, he says, this was 20 years ago. He says, Larry, he says, it's not going to be very long now. Daryl Tomlinson's home with the Lord now, but he says, it's not going to be very long from now, and pastors are going to be persecuted to no end. They're going to be jailed. They're going to have charges against them for things that they say, and it's going to be a small percent of the people that are going to cause this. And we're seeing it right now. Some of the pastors, some of the churches are getting weak, and they're giving in. We can't get weak and give in. We got to be bold and strong and persevere. We got to keep going forward. There's a church out in California, and I'm going to mention his name because I think that if he finally gets notified enough, but Saddleback Church, one of the big mega churches in California, the pastor is Rick Warren. Rick Warren stands in front of 20,000 people a week and says, it's perfectly okay that we have to understand and believe the Muslim religion, Buddhism, we have to stand sides with them and just share our faith equally with theirs. Man alive, how dumb can you be and still breathe? I don't want to face that. My book in Hebrews says that leaders and teachers will be judged more stringently at the end times. And here this man is saying that I have to bow down and believe that Buddhists and Muslims are equal to us in belief. People, that's happening in a lot of churches today. It's happening. They're weakening. They don't want to be persecuted. They don't want to be hit with slander. They don't want to be hit there with racial problems, things like that. So they give in. Homosexuality, it's okay. When I worked a prayer line for Andrew Womack for 5 years, the last year I was there, we got a call. I may have shared this, but I'm going to again. A young man called, and he says, I really need prayer. And I asked what was on his heart, and he says, I'm in my final year at a Methodist college out east. I think he said it was Rhode Island or Connecticut, one of the two. I'm in my senior year, and he says, part of our project right now that we have to do is simulate a same-sex marriage. And he says, I haven't slept last night, and I'm just getting sick over this, that I don't feel I can do it. He says, I know enough about the Word, and I know that God doesn't want that. I said, brother, you are right. I said, I can't give advice over the phone here, but I'm going to break the rule right now, and I'm going to give you advice. I'm telling you, move on. There will be no blessings teaching people that it's okay for same-sex marriages. Go on. And he says, you made up my mind along with me. So, again, we got to be bold with it. We got to love on them. You know, that if somebody does that, how can we take sides? How can we befriend somebody? Supposing a person came in here and started hammering on me because I'm against same-sex marriages. I could hit him back and, you know, we could start exchanging words and, you know, getting the anger up and everything. But if I would lovingly talk to him and say, I'd like to just sit down and have a cup of coffee with you. Would you mind doing that? What's he going to say? Most he's going to say is no. Then I might even say, well, maybe we could have a beer. I don't think so. But we've got to win them over with love and understanding. We have to be able to reason with them. We have to be able to talk to them. Fighting them off isn't going to do it. Rallies aren't going to do it. They won't do it. They won't do it. The other thing, and I know right now we're talking a little bit about gloom and doom. The rest of the story with blessings is coming up, and I forgot my watch. I lost my train here, but we can't endorse. Oh, you got the timer? Okay, good. Yeah, we can't endorse those type of things. We have to be bold and step out. Nancy and I this morning we're watching Andrew Womack, and he's on every morning at 7:30, and he's got a 14-page publication of Liberty. David Barton. Well, Andrew's endorsing it. Yeah, what is it called? Liberty and Freedom and Liberty. Yeah. Both Nancy and I spoke instantly when we saw that. It's 14 pages of what had been accomplished so far in the last year with public office, things that are going on, positive things with Donald Trump. 14 good things. 14 pages full of stuff. Yeah, you won't hear it on the news. You're right. So Nancy and I both saw that, and we said, wow, this could be a ministry, taking those 14 pages and sharing it, being the media for that, and getting that out, whether we visit churches, visit Christian people, and share those things with it. This isn't fake news. This is good news. This is good, good truth. It's good news. We have to look at what the future is as these things are happening. Do we want a godly president in here if Jesus is returning? Won't there be better blessings for America? We want godly leaders. We want godly people. And our nation will be healed. Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12 gets into the blessings. Wow, the good things. They're always for the end. It said, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. So they were up the mountain, he seated, and the disciples came over to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them by saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessings are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. These are answering things that, is it okay to mourn? Certainly it is. And you're going to be comforted. There's nothing wrong with it. It says so right here. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Wow, that's powerful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacekeepers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they ridicule or persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Let's recap that last verse a little bit. That's true persecution, when you're being called something for being a Christian and standing up for your rights. Smile about it. Show them further scripture with it. Tell them you'd like to sit down and have a cup of coffee with them, and you'd be glad to discuss more of it. Persecution, Paul said that if you aren't being persecuted, you aren't doing anything. Persecution and martyred, you know, being martyred, I don't think we have to go that far, but many of them are. Boy, the extra crowns and the things that we're gonna see for those that have been martyred, given their life up. Rejoice and be extremely glad, for great is the reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets, so were before you. Who were before you? The prophets. They were also persecuted that came before us. We are the salt of the earth, it goes on. So those type of blessings, there's a whole list of it. That's just part of them here in the first book in the New Testament about different blessings. In James 5:14, if we go back to the book of James, my favorite book, it's a short little book, but boy, there's so much in there. Maybe because it's for the double-minded at times, and I used to be that way. James 1:14. If anyone, now we're getting into a different category here of physical healing. So far we've talked about emotional and spiritual healing. If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick. You know, we do it a little bit different. Most churches do it a little bit different. We don't call for the elders, they call for us. Both of them work. But it says if you're sick, call for the elders, let them pray for you, and lay hands on you and anoint you with oil. Will you be healed? It's a question. Will you be healed? Absolutely. Absolutely. If that little doubt came to you right now when I asked that statement, will you be healed? If that little doubt came to her and there was hesitation, there's a blockage. There's a hindrance. There's something stopping that from happening right there. That was the first number one warning. Openly, you have to receive it. It's there. The word said, I just read it, let them lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, and you shall be saved. One translation says heal. One says you will become well. All the same thing. There's good point. Thank you, Nancy. That's a good point. There was somebody was saying that healing should happen within 2 days or within several days. I don't see anything where it says that. I've never really read where there's a time on it. I think it's up to what's inside here and what's up here that's going to determine the length of time for manifestation. And I'm not leaning on somebody that hasn't, but if you have not received healing, you are probably so close at one time, it would scare you if you knew that. And you would go back where you left off. There had to be doubt and unbelief, number one. That's the biggest thing that will stop. It'll negate. It will stop. It'll void healing from happening. Whether it's a miraculous healing that happens instantaneous by laying hands on somebody and they fall over and all of a sudden the leg is back on. It's attached now. That was severed. That can happen. Those are miracles. They're for today. They work. The person that prayed for him had to have belief and faith that it was going to work. And the person laying there certainly had to have faith and belief that it was going to work. As soon as any of those unwords come in, with especially unbelief, it can stop healing from happening. Any time that a healing isn't manifested, any time that a healing doesn't transpire, any time a healing doesn't really work in our bodies, something was in the way. There was a blockage, there was a hindrance, there was an obstacle, there was something that wasn't right there. And this isn't by works now. I'm not saying that you got to go down and go into your prayer closet and read 6 chapters of the Bible before it's going to happen. I'm not believing that if it's a Sunday morning, you better triple your tithe at church this morning. I'm not saying you better go out and bring somebody to the Lord this morning because time is running short. I got to do it before noon. That's works. That won't help. Won't help a bit. In fact, if you're leaning on it, it could also hinder it. If you're really thinking, I got to do all of this stuff, it'll hinder it. Then Sunday morning, we better probably bring a heifer or a goat or a pigeon or something to sacrifice and have a bloody mess like they did back then. I mean, I couldn't imagine how bad that was. 105 degrees outside and they slaughter and massacre 5,000 animals and the blood is just running. They believed it worked. I don't know. We don't have to do that, thank God. Thank you, Jesus, we don't have to do that. That blood has already been poured. We didn't have to have those types of gallons, and we didn't have to believe all of that. We didn't have to have golden calves. We don't need all of that. It's Jesus and nothing. We don't need any more, not one thing. Not one thing. So think back with that healing when I asked, it should have been instantaneous thought, yes, healing is for today. God wants me well, and I'm going to receive it. I'm going to receive it. It's not just healing. It's not just healing that does that. It's everything in the supernatural realm, prosperity, healing, futures, plans, all of that stuff. It's for today, prophecy. We don't do enough of that. Apostle Paul said, of all of you, I speak in tongues more than any of you, but I even prophesy more than I speak in tongues. Now, he's a tongue-speaking evangelist. He was out there really, really doing it. But he even prophesied more than that. Today, I'm speaking for myself again. I just had a prophecyist Sunday, but it's not like, don't hold back with those. Don't hold back with a word. Don't hold back with a prophecy. Don't hold back if you have something for another brother or sister. Share it. Be open. Be bold. Go up there. Well, what if it doesn't happen? God told you to do it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. If you heard God right, and he said, go over to that person, lay hands on him, and tell him this. A word from the congregation, we had one Sunday, and God just wanted to share that he was pleased with everyone, that he wasn't a bit upset. He wasn't angry. That's a word. Prophecy comes along that same thing. It's a supernatural thing. And it's something that God wants us to do. It's a way that we can talk to one another and sharing him through us. He's using us to do that. Instead of them hearing that his voice directly, he's hearing our voice, but he's coming through us to you. So it's an important thing. Prophecy is an important thing. If you aren't right on with it, don't hesitate from doing it again. I had one with one of the other churches I was preaching at, and the Lord told me about it. It was a financial problem that one of the members was going through. And I had a word for him, and it was based on everything's going to turn out okay over this. And it was a serious, serious thing over a large, quite a bit of money, and it was affecting his family and everything. And went over and answered that word that God gave me or passed it on to him. I got a call Wednesday that the whole thing was completely resolved, and it was millions, and it was completely resolved. I believe that it was from that word that helped that come to pass. Am I absolutely positive? No, but I believe that it was there. So sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we aren't sure. You know, altar calls with healing, when many pastors don't call for altar calls anymore. They don't call for the sick to come forward. They don't call the elders to call the sick to come forward and lay hands on them, anoint them with oil. Many of them don't. I believe our church does, and when we have special camp meetings, when we have special speakers, it's more prevalent. It happens more, which is okay. But many churches aren't doing it because the pastors are afraid that, well, what if it doesn't work? What if somebody comes hobbling up with a bad leg and I lay hands on them and they don't go over and start flipping and a leg doesn't heal? So just keep praying that it's going to happen. It didn't have to be a miracle and happen instantly. It's still going to happen. Go on to the next. Go on to the person next to him that might want delivery right now. Casting out demons, healing the sick. It's all there. Don't be afraid of using it. Many of them, they just won't do it. The pastors are afraid, well, if it doesn't work, there I am. People are pointing fingers at me, and the person walked up sick, and he's leaving sick. It's not up to that person to determine that. God already healed them. He's just trying to help that person through the Word of God, going through them, to get well. That's all it is. It's not you that's going to heal them. It's not me that's going to heal them. So why should we feel bad if that doesn't happen? I would feel bad because I'm excited about seeing them healed. But there's something in the way. There was some blockage there. There was something that had to be cleansed. There was something in the way. There was something that was bringing that promise to that person through the Word of God by touching, laying of hands, anointing with oil. All the ingredients was there, but something was in the way. Something was missing. Making a batch of brownies and the last ingredient was sugar. If you didn't put it in there, man alive, nothing's going to come out of it. It's not going to be a total thing. So, you know, we need all of the ingredients there. And we can't become discouraged. A couple of my talks that I've had and teachings were, how close have you been and didn't receive it? How close have we been? And I'm not talking, it doesn't have to be stage 4 cancer. It doesn't have to be bad reports from the doctor. It can be just a pain hangnail that's really hurting. Command it to leave. God doesn't want us in pain. He doesn't want us hurting. Command it to leave. Take authority over it. You can do it yourself or come up to somebody and say, I really need prayer over this. In my own life, like I opened with, I'm not going to beg him for it anymore. I'm not even going to ask him. I'm going to thank him. Thank you, Lord, that pain is just a symptom and it's not going to last. It's going to be gone. I mentioned Wednesday that it's going on 3 years since I had that broken back and no symptoms, no pain, nothing, not a bit over that. And that wasn't instant. I went on for 6 months with that, and finally up to the point where I needed the surgery. And that Wednesday night sitting here when Pastor came up and said, "This one's for you tonight, Larry." 45 minutes later, I got up, bent over, and touched my toes, and never had a problem since. Doctor couldn't believe it. Scratched his head and looked, and he says, "Wow." It happens. But, you know, many times we become sick and tired of being sick and tired. Enough is enough. Get rid of that obstacle. Get rid of that hindrance. Get rid of that barricade. God will work with that. If a report from the doctor isn't so good, rebuke that immediately. I don't receive that. The doctor's word is not final. My living God wants me well. I have taken the limits off of him. Thank you, Father. Thank you that I am being healed in the name of your son, Jesus. Thank you. That's the prayer. That's the prayer that works. You will be healed. That's a promise. That is a promise. It's not a maybe. It's a promise. Total promise. You know, when we got these conditions or symptoms, I'm going to call them symptoms, I don't believe in telling God about our mountain. I don't believe in telling God about our mountain, about our problem. I believe in telling the mountain about God. Turn it around. I believe in telling the problem about God. I have a bigger God than you are, problem. You're out of here. You're history. I rebuke you. I command you to leave over the blood of Jesus. If you say that type of prayer, it will happen. Like I said, a miracle is instantaneous. It usually happens right away. Some people said, I've heard a couple times lately that they said 2 to 3 days and you should be healed. I don't see where that is either. Sometimes it can take a long time. It took 6 months with me, but I wasn't there every day begging for him. I just said, "Lord, I know that there's a reason. There's something wrong. Make it open with me as to what it is. I'm teachable. I will receive what you say." And that one Wednesday night is when it was time and it broke through. That can happen. Fear comes in so fast. When Nancy got the bad news 2 years ago, going on 3 years, bad news. I mean, that doctor's report was gruesome. I mean, there was no fear. We walked in there and we smiled at each other. And, you know, many people get this and they fall apart like a $2 suitcase. And we looked at each other and we said, "We're going to make this." It was shock, but yeah, it was shock, it was fear, it was a surprise. We didn't believe that it was there, but it was bigger than what anybody expected. I think the way you react to it immediately, it's going to set your timeline of receiving healing. First, you have to overcome the fear. You have to find out why that was there. Oh, death, where's your sting? There is none. There is no sting. Yeah. Amen. There is no sting. Many people get this news, and all of a sudden, my goodness, the world just came to an end. And to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What's the worst we got to go? We're going to die. it's hard to say this. It's bold to say this, but the loved ones are what's going to mourn. We're certainly going to be in a beautiful place. Dennis and Joy right now, they're with us, I believe. They're with us. Bless their hearts. Blessings. Yeah. The whole gang is up there, and they say, "Yes, Harvest Point, thank you for what you had given us. Thank you for the opportunity that we had to serve and be there." The mourning is for us. We're the ones that are missing the person. So bad news can be a surprise, but don't let fear in there. You know, the devil will come in, like Andrew says, he'll come in and eat your lunch and pop the bag. I mean, that's just what the devil tries to do. He'll do anything he can to make your life miserable. But he has no power, none whatsoever, no power. Look what happened when he tried it with Jesus. Jesus commanded him to leave, and he had to. He was gone. What time are we getting to be here, Nance? Oh, okay. All righty. I'm going to go to Psalm. Well, there's in Proverbs and Psalms, there's a lot about healing. What the promise of God is for healing, how we go about it. You know, like I said earlier, most of my life I didn't know the Lord. I believed in God. I believed that there was only one God. I really didn't feel I was good enough to be with that group because my life was pretty rough. Not violent, but it was rough. I was pretty crude. And I didn't know God, but he knew me. You know, I had 32 years of professional auto racing, and I say that I knew the Lord. I mean, he knew me for sure. And I really believed in him because running 200 miles an hour, when you saw that wall coming up at you, I'd say, God, I hope I pass out because this one's going to hurt. So, you know, I did talk to him then, but really didn't know him. But for 32 years of auto racing that way, and most happening couple broken bones out of it, my goodness, you name one football player that could play 32 years and have a couple broken bones. You know, they don't last that long anyway, 32 years in a profession. But a million miles of racing, and God was always there, always protected me. And then those final years in NASCAR, they had a chaplain there that, and again, I still didn't know the Lord. I wasn't saved. But some of these auto teams, some of these race teams, the big guys, and Joe Gibbs, he was with us, and he was a competitor. And they would gather before the race in a big circle and went into prayer. And I would watch that and thought, my goodness, you know, this is a winning team. They win a lot. So did the other team down here that starts off with prayer. They're always winning. You don't see problems with them. And then that chaplain came over to our team one time, and he says, do you mind if we could say a prayer for you before you guys went out? And have at it. Go ahead. You know. And he did. And there was comfort. There was comfort. There was a well-being. There was a peace there. And he welcomed the Holy Spirit. He welcomed the God, our Lord. He welcomed God to be there and participate and put safety over it. And I think that was a stepping stone. That was a start. They say that the average Christian today's Christian, after you're born again and saved, you've been approached 11 times before you make a commitment and change. So I believe everybody that I talk to is, they've already had their 10th time, and this is going to happen. So, you know, that's all planting seeds. Sometimes when you get that, don't talk to me about that stuff. Just smile at them and say, I'd still like to, but I'm going to respect your decision. Can we go have a cup of coffee? You know, but just keep planting those seeds. I truly believe that it helps your own healing. That's not works. That's God works. That's things that he expects from us. I really believe that helps our healing. That opens that communicator much, much closer. Praying in tongues opens that communication so much closer. It edifies. I talked Wednesday about when you don't know what to pray about, or when you got a prayer list, you get halfway through and you're disturbed or bothered, or we've all been there. We never get to finish that prayer list. There's always a hindrance, something in the way, an obstruction. Praying in tongues, that usually doesn't happen. You can keep right on going through and go right through that whole list. Maybe we don't know exactly how that prayer language went, but he certainly did. And in a prayer language, it edifies ourselves. So, but I believe that all of these things, when we're doing spiritual work, when we're doing God's work, that isn't works. That's not works to prove to Him. We don't have to prove to Him anything. He knows. We don't even have to take a step forward to do it. He already knows whether we're going to or not, so we're just kidding ourselves. So don't hesitate. Just do it. Get out there and do it. But I believe that will help, because so many people come up in a prayer line for 5 years and they say, I'm getting discouraged. How come this isn't happening? How come I'm not getting healed? Well, your opening statement just answered it. You're discouraged. God's not discouraged. He's not a bit upset. And, you know, at the time, I always like to tell him, don't limit God. Take the limits off. Take the limits off. He's a bigger God than what most Christians think he is. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He's got all the gold, all the silver. That's not ours. It's his. So why can't we believe and receive healing automatically? Maybe not in a miraculous form, but why can't we receive it within a reasonable time? We can. Don't give up. Keep going. Persevere. Keep going. How close have we been? Keep going. Get rid of those doubt. Get rid of that unbelief. Use your faith. Turn that faithometer up so it's up to the maximum. Use every bit of it that there is. Father, I know right now there are needs, probably with many, if not all, of the people here this evening. Father, we talked about your desires, your ways, and your wills. Father, right now, I want to just open and say for myself, and I believe I'm speaking for my brothers and sisters, we are taking limits off right now. Right now, we are taking limits off. Ooh. There's a presence here right now that we're receiving total healing of anything that it might be. Maybe not just for ourselves, but for somebody else, a loved one, a friend, a neighbor. We're receiving healing right now. We've taken limits off. There's nothing in the way. There's no obstacle. There's no hindrance. There's no blockage. It's an open path. I can see the light column going straight up right now. And he's looking down and saying, yes, you are healed. Receive it in my name. You are healed. Receive it in my name. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Father, we thank you. Amen. Well, meditate on some of those things that came through tonight. Take that quiet time, that still time that we were talking about Wednesday night, and put it along with tonight's ingredient. Put that quiet time along with praising and thanking him for the healing as if it already is completely over and done with, rather than wondering, rather than doubting, rather than saying, well, it's not for me, it's just for the better one down the road or for the pastor. Put it together. Take that quiet time. Don't even have to say a word. Just take that quiet time, that still time. That's what he wants us to do. And I'm agreeing with you. I'm believing that miracles will happen. Okay? Hey, thanks for being here tonight, and blessings. 4 o'clock, remember, we're going to celebrate the eternal life for 2 people. Okay? Thank you. Good night.